Why are you so upset?
Because on Boomer Show Friday, I sit in over there on Fridays now for an hour. As you all know, I picked Green Bay to win.
Oh, did you? Because Brett Hundley, you thought he was going to be great.
I didn't think he was going to be great, but I thought they would amend their game plan and find out what he does best. And having the ability to escape pressure, he would play better than he did when he was thrust into action versus the Vikings. And it got worse.
Yeah, I mean, he did rush for a touchdown, but other than that, he only had, what, 87 yards?
87 yards? You've been in my system for 3 years. Remember that,
yep.
Mike McCarthy?
That's
for
right.
3 years. We're not going to bring somebody else in here to teach my system. Well, apparently, he hasn't been paying attention.
So it's okay to call him a schmuck now? Because
no, you can't call him a schmuck. No, we can't do what he's doing.
I did it in
We can't throw for 87 yards in
no,
the NFL.
You're right. No, well, I could get close. If I could complete one pass, I could get close. Well, think about it. You give me an opportunity to stand back there. If I have a good offensive line, I could make a throw. I could make one throw.
You can make one.
I could make a throw. I could complete one pass.
You pee in your pants.
Probably, but I do it while completing a pass.
Okay.
Well, no, I did it in defense of Colin Kaepernick. Really, is what I was doing when I said,
yeah,
those two schmucks, meaning the two guys who were on his roster after Aaron Rodgers was gone. But no, he wasn't very good. And that Saints team, though, you have to give them credit on defense, which is something,
yes,
I never thought I'd say.
Yeah.
But their defense is playing like a good defense.
Playing better.
Yeah, I mean, better. I mean, it's been, considering where they came from.
True, but they gave up a ton of points to Matt Stafford, even after all those turnovers that they forced on Detroit.
Didn't they have a punt return for a touchdown?
A couple defensive interception return. They had a fumble return.
So, but remember that they were great too. I mean, they basically won the game for the Saints too with their big plays. So that Saints defense is a hell of a lot better. And that team, that's one of those teams in the NFC that you have to keep an eye on where we don't know if they're good or not. I mean, the NFC is such a microcosm of today's NFL because it's just, you know, the AFC, you got more elite teams, but it's, you just don't know who's good and who's not good. And from week to week, it could be a different story. But the Saints are in that mix now at 4-2 in the NFC South. And the Panthers are another one of these up-and-down teams. I don't know what the hell happened to them yesterday.
What was that? Eddie Jackson with the record, the fumble return, the kickoff, or the pick six. Just amazing that they just fell apart on the offensive side and defensively. I mean, they didn't – I don't know what it was either. Maybe it was Cam missing out on his press avail last week. Or I don't know. That was bad.
Yeah, he's been running it unbelievably hot and cold. I mean, the guy is either looking like his MVP self or
– usually on the road.
Yeah, and he looks terrible elsewhere. Right. I mean, he's got the splits now that are just really, really – it's a dichotomy. So you've got a couple of teams, as we talked about, in the NFC East. They're going to be playing each other tonight in the Eagles and the Redskins. And we talked about how the Giants lost to the Seahawks. And then the only team left in that division we haven't talked about is your Dallas Cowboys. And yes, I did pick the 49ers to cover one of the worst
13,
decisions.
Wasn't it?
No, it was only six.
Oh, it was only six?
It was only
what?
Six.
Hell, they think they mess with the Cowboys, man.
Yeah.
Right out of the gate. Ezekiel Elliott got going. Long runs, you know, over 200 yards rushing for the Cowboys. 265, I believe, is what they had. And Dak Prescott, three straight games, three touchdown passes. He looked good. Defensively, I thought they played a hell of a lot better. And here's, you know, we're talking about Hundley, 87 yards passing. Of course, he hadn't been the starter, but you have a C.J. Beathard that gets thrust into action as the new starter there for San Francisco. He throws for 235 or something like that. So this guy who has not had
down,
the time.
They were down
so much. I understand
they
were down, but still.
That to me
he threw for 235,
yeah,
and Hundley only 87 yards. He only targets. Who's the wide receiver? I should know his name. He killed my Longhorns at K-State.
For who?
Green Bay. I'm sorry.
Jordy Nelson?
Jordy Nelson. He only targeted Jordy Nelson like one time down the field. Throw the damn ball to Jordy Nelson.
Yeah. Who's the wide receiver? We could go in a couple different directions.
Not your daddy's possession receiver,
yeah.
Okay?
Right. I think that was a falsehood that Beathard stuff, who also ran for a touchdown, by the way, in the fourth quarter. Both of them ran for a touchdown, and Beathard and Hundley, but they were just all they did was throw the ball in the second half, and the Cowboys' defense was just like, "Here, take it, take the yards."
Well, they had to; they were forced into that.
So that's why I don't think it was a false 235.
I thought earlier he was when they weren't that far behind, he was throwing the ball well, and but he couldn't protect him. That was a problem for him early on in that ball game. No protection whatsoever. And but once again, the running game was rolling for the Cowboys. Dak did his thing, and they played a damn good game on the road.
Yeah, they definitely did. And I thought the 49ers were going to play a hell of a lot better. I really had faith in C.J. Beathard to play pretty well, and he did not. I almost played him in fantasy, believe it or not.
Who'd you play instead? Fantasy.
Marcus Mariota. You should have known for my anger at him.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Ridiculous. In daily fantasy, that is. I had Matt Ryan in the season long. Ryan wasn't my problem. But yeah, Marcus Mariota, Jesus. I mean, I don't know how he could be as bad as he was against that defense. I just don't know.
No, that defense, we felt like that was coming into the season. We felt like the defense would be better.
I don't care.
For the Browns.
You got to tear them up, man. You got to. You have to. That's what everybody does.
Who's your running back?
You got to. I played Shady McCoy, and I also played Chris Ivory because Fournette went out.
Yeah, but it was Yeldon.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Still Ivory.
Ivory got more carries, but Yeldon had all the production.
Right.
And then I played Antonio Brown. I played Eric Decker, who didn't catch a pass. So that wasn't very good. I had the Mariota Decker
stack.
So is
it safe to say you didn't win?
I did not. I came in 6 out of 12 in our league, our daily league.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't great. Wasn't a great week. I did, however, have the San Diego Chargers defense.
Aha!
It gave me 27 points, I believe.
What is going on with the Denver Broncos? A week ago versus the Giants, they couldn't do a damn thing. And now on the road, a team, they beat the Chargers by 3 at the beginning of the season. And now they are reeling on that side of the ball. When you stuff out their running game, which the Giants did, which occurred yesterday as well with the Chargers, they have nothing. Simeon hasn't been able to find his receivers. They got after him. So this Chargers team, which lost all those early games, what, about 3-4 points a game, they're finding a way to win a ball game. So good for Coach Lynn. That's why I said, hey, you should keep that gray, man.
Yeah, and that team, I did like that team coming into the year, and then they, of course, lost a couple of really close games. But good for him that they've won a couple. Now they're not talking so much about the StubHub Center and more about
that. It was packed yesterday. I mean, you had at the top
of the... Well, they sold out every game there. Yeah. It's just only 25,000 people.
Right, and you have the Broncos coming to town. People want to see them as well. But this Hunter Henry... he really has played well. He played well last year, the cat out of Arkansas. They could use him at Arkansas, by the way. He's getting more play now than Antonio Gates.
Yeah, well, Antonio Gates is old. I think they got him that touchdown to break Tony Gonzalez's record, and they're like, okay, now Antonio Gates, we're going to send you out to stud. Right?
Not a bad life.
I mean, just go ahead. get out of here. We got someone more talented than you.
But well, good for the Chargers. Now they have to fly cross country again. They were just out here 2 weeks ago in New York. Now they go to New England the next ball game. And, of course, we all know that'll be difficult. But they are trending is the word I'm trying to say, the right way. So good for Coach Lynn and that staff.
And one of these teams in the NFC that I don't know if they're good or not is the Minnesota Vikings, who are now 5-2. And I didn't watch a ton of this game yesterday because there was really no fantasy action in the game. But they end up beating the Baltimore Ravens at home. And I don't think that there's enough there. And I know that I was joking around about Teddy Bridgewater coming back and giving the Vikings a home game in the Super Bowl. I mean, their defense is really good. But and it's just tough for me to believe that this offense is going to be able to be good enough to really compete with the better teams in the NFC. I just don't, and I don't want to knock them because they've won 5 out of 7 to start the year, and that's really good. And they're first place in their division. They should feel great about themselves. But and whether it's Case Keenum and Diggs hasn't, you know, he's been hurt. You know, Thielen and, I mean, Latavius Murray and McKinnon. I mean, these guys are going to be consistently good on offense?
I think they definitely need to get Diggs back. He's the big play guy for that offense. And you know, it was McKinnon 2 weeks ago, and now you have Murray did his thing yesterday. But Case Keenan didn't have gaudy numbers, one interception, no touchdowns. He did almost throw for 200 yards. But you're right, the consistency is what you're going to need. And is that enough offensively, especially without Diggs in the fold, for them to compete week in and week out. And I'm going to say no, it's not.
Yeah, and the Ravens feel worse than 3-4, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
I was surprised. I was like, the Ravens.
Where'd they win three games?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know that they got blown out by Jacksonville. That was just a complete disgusting game over in London, right? There was that game. Yeah. And then they ended up losing to Vikings yesterday. Another just bad game. But I just was like, man, I was like, this is a 3-3 team going into yesterday? It just did not feel like it. Doesn't feel like they could do. I mean, their defense can be pretty good at times, but offensively, it's another team that's just really, really challenged offensively. I mean, and Joe Flacco, week in and week out, is not a guy you can expect to be lighting it up.
And now Wallace is out. Am I correct?
He left yesterday's game. It was a nasty hit. Right?
Yeah.
So I mean, that's a
ouch.
That's definitely a weapon they will miss. So I mean, it's starting. You get to this point in the season, you're heading into week 8, which is really just unbelievable. That we're talking about that already, and you feel like you have an idea of who's good and who's not.
I like the Dolphins' defense. I like the Jets' defense, and the Jets had an opportunity to get another victory versus the Dolphins. And once again, their quarterback, Josh McCown, what the hell are you thinking throwing that pass? There was not a Jets receiver in the vicinity.
Yeah.
There was not a Jets receiver in Brown County, man. You could have hit with that pass. It was unbelievable. And for a guy to be as long in the tooth as he is and playing in this league for as long as he has, back-to-back weeks where he's had just idiotic throws.
Yeah, and you could have played for overtime in that situation,
right,
too, was the other part about that. And I always like when a team is aggressive, but in that particular situation, it just felt like only bad things could happen. I probably would have thought that the Dolphins would have won in overtime, too, because you blow a 2-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter. You just, the momentum, you're on the road. And by the way, the turf at that place is a disgrace.
Well, they played the college game the night before.
I know they did. If it can sustain that,
yeah,
back-to-back games, then do that.
Right.
But if it can't, the turf's going to be like that.
Yep. I would agree.
It's pathetic.
Yeah, I would agree.
Guys,
yeah,
slipping all over the place. It's amazing that Cody Parkey made that game-winning field goal. The guy slipped like 10 times in warm-ups.
Yep.
And good for him that he figured out a way to stay upright.
Yeah.
You know, you see Jay Ajayi slipping all over the place. It was just...
Yeah, that they need to do something about that. You shouldn't have back-to-back games like that where you have a game lasting into the evening there for the Hurricanes versus Syracuse, and then you have an afternoon game following that. That turf cannot hold up. Now they are well aware of that, so hopefully they'll correct that problem. But even more concerning for the Dolphins, maybe it's not. Maybe it's a blessing in disguise. Jay Cutler gets hurt and wasn't really doing anything. Anyway, Matt Moore comes in, throws a couple of touchdown passes. He did have one interception, but he like a kid out there, man. He was having so much fun. Finally, I get my shot, and he took advantage of it.
Yeah, I feel like Matt Moore, and I don't know this for a fact, but I feel like when you see him at first, it always you're like, oh, man, this guy could do something. And then as he gets more opportunities, you realize why he's a backup. But the way that he came in and played yesterday, I don't think you go back to Cutler. I don't. And then they probably feel foolish because they went and got him out of the broadcast booth, and he's only been, I mean, playing at like a C-minus level, and they had Matt Moore there the entire time. But I don't go back to Cutler. If Cutler's healthy, I don't do it. Right, because the way that offense played, and Jarvis Landry, by the way, I mean, this guy is just the man.
Yeah.
He really is.
Since he entered the league.
Yeah, he had a huge day yesterday. Yeah. No Devontae Parker, so a lot of it was on his shoulders. And he's so passionate, cares so much. Like, everybody should, you'd love to have a guy like him on your team. I mean, you don't have the Martavis Bryant tweets out of Jarvis Landry. Now, I know Jarvis Landry gets a lot more looks than Martavis does,
yeah,
but if he didn't, I don't think Jarvis Landry would go to Twitter or Instagram and say, you got to trade me.
Well, he's another fiery one. Remember, he was teammates with Odell Beckham Jr. there at LSU, and he can get fired up at times, and usually it's on the positive side of things,
yeah,
but he's one hell of a receiver, and he's right there with Odell Beckham. You're right, he doesn't get the limelight because he's not as much of a drama queen, if at all, as his former teammate there at LSU, but one hell of a wide receiver.
All right, coming up next, an Andrew Bogus update, and Bobby Portis tries to apologize for punching out Nikola Mirotic. We got some funny audio there. Keep it right here.
It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio. I got the vacationing New York judge presiding over Ezekiel Elliott's appeal of his 6-game suspension is now back at work, denying the NFL's request for an expedited hearing this week. So their next court date remains next Monday, which means Elliott will play this weekend against Washington, which isn't good news for them based on yesterday in San Francisco.
The Cowboys take over and a fake to Switzer and a screen right to Elliott. First down across the 30. Sideline to the 40. To the 30. Foot race 20. 15. Makes a cut. 10. Touchdown. Screen pass of 72 yards.
Brad Sham on Cowboys Radio. Elliott also ran for 147 yards and 2 scores on the ground in a 40-10 dismantling of the Niners. The Patriots.
Brad Sham still at it. Wow.
Love them.
I do, too. Called my games back in the day.
The Patriots kept the Falcons scoreless for over 55 minutes to win 23-7 on Sunday Night Football. Len has dropped 3 straight. Tom Brady touchdown passes to Brandon Cooks and James White. The Jets had a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter in Miami. Then Josh McCown threw a terrible pick, and Cody Parkey kicked a 39-yard field goal with 22 seconds left for a 31-28 Dolphin win. Jets head coach Todd Bowles would like to borrow the velvet jacket Brian wore on TV Saturday.
It's frustrating. We had a chance to finish. We didn't finish. We made too many mistakes, too many blunders, and at some point we got to develop some killer instinct to finish ball games.
Man, I got so many Coming to America references about that jacket.
Oh, did you?
Oh, what is that, velvet? Yes, it was.
It really was velvet.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, thank you, Taylor Bird.
You look good, man.
Ooh, it's a lady.
That's all that was missing.
Jay Cutler, by the way, may have broken ribs in that game. The Dolphins played Thursday night in Baltimore. Cardinals QB Carson Palmer expected to miss at least 8 weeks with a broken left arm. And Browns left tackle Joe Thomas has finally missed a snap and maybe many more. 10,363 in a row, every single one since being drafted third overall in 2007 until a left triceps injury in yesterday's 12-9 OT loss to the Titans. The fear is a season-ending tear. Carmelo Anthony thought he had his first big shot for the Thunder.
George giving the ball. Russell cuts to it at midcourt, play by Butler. Flashes left on the wing to Melo for three and the lead. Cha-ching! A Thunder money ball! Melo!
But then...
No timeouts for the Wolves. 4.7 seconds. Gibson's got to get it in. Does. Wiggins drives across midcourt. Andrew lets it fly at the buzzer for the win. Andrew Wiggins banks it in. And the Timberwolves, an unbelievable win here in Oklahoma City.
115-113 the final. That was Dave Benz on Fox Sports North. Hither Matt Pinto on Thunder Radio. The Suns have fired head coach Earl Watson after an 0-3 start, including losses of 48 and 42 points. Assistant Jay Triano takes over on an interim basis, probably for the rest of the season. The top 8 teams in the AP college football poll unchanged from last week, including Alabama, unanimous number 1 again. Notre Dame jumps to 9, the first time the Irish are in the top 10 this season. Michigan now unranked for the first time in 2 years. The Red Sox have hired Astros bench coach Alex Cora as their new manager. The Mets reportedly going with Cleveland pitching coach Mickey Callaway.
Yeah.
And Martin and vroom vroom, Martin Truex Jr. won the NASCAR race.
It.
That's right.
At Kansas Speedway.
I when I saw that, I said, I think GL called that.
Well, I didn't really. It was Zach Martin who was
Zach told you.
He's the resident NASCAR expert. He's
he is now.
Right. Yeah. Well, he's always been. But
he hadn't called as many as I have.
Well, he hasn't had the opportunity. Well, who knows? He could be sitting in there calling all of them.
He wouldn't have.
He also picked a name, not four. Went, oh,
you
was
always
right.
Go there with four. I picked 2 to 3 names. That's it.
Right. That's nowhere near four. By the way, Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, and Jimmy Johnson among those qualifying for the third round of the Sprint Cup postseason with their finishes yesterday at Kansas. Was that to Mike or Pete?
Yeah, I told him 4 was after 3.
Dumbass.
That's the first time we've talked today. Oh, boy. Can't help you anymore, man. I just can't. There's nothing I can do.
Oh, I enjoy it a little.
Oh, do you? You enjoy the abuse a little bit. You must.
Well, it's my fault.
It is.
Like, if you ever go to some sort of entity and, like, report this, don't tell them I didn't try, all right? I don't care what happens anywhere else. Just don't be like, and Greg could have stopped it. Just don't say that, all right?
You got it.
You okay, could have stopped it. I'm going to say that.
No.
I could have.
No, I tried.
No, you did not.
No. Don't drag me into this.
What do you mean you try? When did you try?
I've tried many times.
Yeah.
You're not here a lot.
I tried.
When I am.
I put
you on a show called Better Man to try and get you to be a better man.
I'm still
trying.
It
hasn't happened yet.
We have that agreement that you're not going to, in your complaint, you're not going to say.
There will be no complaint.
And also, co-host Greg Giannotti could have stopped the abuse.
Yeah, and but up did at not. Anchor, Andrew Bogish.
Right.
Yeah.
And
technical director, Pete Pilotti.
Yeah, right. Petey.
Hey out there, how's your anger toolbox?
Yeah. We were all hit with theoretical bats when we tried to step in.
Better man.
Well, as I said, I'm going on this journey with all the other good men.
De-escalate a situation and not allow your anger to get the best of you.
Right.
You threw that box of chocolate bars at Mike on Friday.
Oh,
what were you doing to de-escalate the situation?
Better mind.
Trying to de-escalate Mike's diabetes.
I forgot about that.
He didn't. Yeah. Was that a de-escalation?
Yes.
Was it? Oh, okay.
Make sure you check that anger out there, okay?
It's all his fault.
It's all my fault. No, it's my fault.
That was definitely your fault. Was it Friday that day?
Yeah, it was Friday.
Yep, Friday.
Dumbass question. Man.
Okay!
I know how to help my situation. I have a remedy.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Okay. We'll start using it, will you?
Man, no, I'll use it.
Come on, Greg.
Open your toolbox
and
take it out. Eat a donut.
Forgot about the chocolates.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, at least I finally got him out of the house. So that's helping me become a better man.
Your anger toolbox.
I mean, six of the 100 that were in there.
You took them out of the house and used them as a weapon on Friday at work.
It's my fault.
Thank you.
Completely my fault.
Thank you.
Sorry about that, Brian.
Apology accepted, see?
You're the better man.
He just doesn't want to stop. Does he?
All I want to say is when the really bad stuff goes down, just say that I tried. That's it. It's all I need because it's going to happen. Mm. It's going to happen. You're going to be broken in half. Something's going to happen. And this is my time to say, Brian.
Yes.
I'm just telling you right now, don't hurt him. Hey, Mike, don't instigate. Now it's on tape.
Okay.
All right. So when it does happen, I'm out. Bogus, you want to protect yourself legally?
Yeah. Brian, I think you're being unfairly mean to Mike, but Mike, I would just, just be
unfairly?
Careful.
Unfairly?
Yeah. You're imposing physically and emotionally.
No.
And
this
I think that you
fault.
Just need to write know your boundaries
fault.
Better.
Record that.
Should we call the boss, make sure he's legally okay? We can have him tell Brian to relax. I just want to cover everybody's asses here because I know it's going to happen.
Let's build a better man.
Why not?
And let's get this done today, or at least this week, because I think Sunday is the watch party, right?
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah. Are you still going after getting the chocolates hurled at your head?
I mean, if Brian's okay with it, but
sure.
It's his party, so I don't.
Sure.
He can make the decision.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? You have not been disinvited yet.
All right.
Is it disinvited or uninvited? Which one is it?
Not sure. Whatever's best for you.
See the boy learning. Now stop talking.
Yes, sir.
All right. Speaking of coworkers punching each other, you had Bobby Portis and Nikola Mirotic, and Portis sending Mirotic to the hospital. Give me the full one here, Pete, and I'll tell you when to cut it off. All right? Do you have it? All right, so this is Bobby Portis. It's only a couple minutes, and we can stop it. But this is Bobby Portis meeting with the media and trying to apologize for the incident.
Go ahead, Bobby.
I'm wrong for what I did. I want to publicly apologize to Nico. I feel like I let my fans, the Bulls organization, most importantly, my teammates down. This is not who Bobby Portis is.
Bobby, can you coexist with Nico going forward?
Yes, I can coexist with Nico going forward.
You and Nico have kind of been going at it competitively for a while now. Is this something that was boiling over, or was it just kind of a one-time thing?
Not boiling over. Me and Nico are competitors, and we're in the same position, so we compete.
Bobby, did you feel like Nico kind of instigated the incident?
We're just competing. Things happen.
Have you talked to him about it?
I text Nico and I called him. He didn't respond.
Can't talk. Fucking job.
Bobby, how do you view this season if when you start to play? Opponents, when you start to play, are you worried that opponents will try to goad you?
No, I'm not worried that opponents will try to goad me. I'm a competitor at the end of the day, and I just let my play do the talking.
A couple of guys on the team said that you addressed them in the pilot. What were they that you said to them?
Saying the same thing I said to you guys. just trying to, be gentle and kind about the situation. I never miss it. Hurt Nico. I'm just competing. That's it.
Can you describe the scrimmage from your perspective?
We competing and kind of went back and forth and things happened.
Were you shoved during that process?
We just competed and that's what it was.
What was your reaction to yourself? Right afterwards, could you have believed that had occurred? You've done that.
What was the question again?
How did you feel yourself right after it happened? Could you have believed that you had done that? Did you realize? Are you surprised about your own reaction or shocked?
Yes, I was surprised by my own reaction because that's not who I was as I first stated.
That's not who I was. That's who I am now, though. And you don't repeat the questions in your answers, man.
Someone must have taught him that.
Go ahead, Bobby.
That's not who Bobby Portis is. Yeah.
I shocked myself. And no, I wasn't goaded.
Yeah. Do you think you were goaded in practice by Nikola Mirotic on that day where you punched him in the face? No, I do not think I was goaded by Nikola Mirotic the day that I punched him in the face.
Wrong for what I did.
Oh, my goodness, Bobby. What was that?
We were just competing. Can you describe what happened? Just competing.
Competing.
Didn't mean for it to happen. Just competing.
Bobby just liked to compete. And I was competing. And he got in the way of my competing. Next question. You talk to Nico. I text him and I call him, but he can't talk because I broke his jaw, so I'm going to text him again.
He left me a voicemail. He said,
go ahead, Bobby.
Wrong for what I did.
I love him again.
Go ahead, Bobby. I'm wrong for what I did.
What, the PR guy has to tell him when to talk?
It's time for me to go ahead.
Yeah, right, do you actually have more from before then? All right,
come on.
Let's hear that.
Bobby's got to make a statement.
Go ahead, Bobby.
Bobby's got to make a statement.
I apologize for what I did that I didn't mean to do, but I did anyway.
This is Bobby making a statement. This is Bobby going ahead.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead now. Since they told me,
wrong for what I did.
It would be great if someone was like, Bobby, if a train leaves Chicago at 4:35 p.m. Eastern time. Okay, if a train leaves Chicago at 4:35, then it will arrive faster than the train from Indiana that left 10 minutes earlier than the train from Chicago.
I didn't ask you about Indiana. Oh, that's right. You didn't ask me about Indiana.
This is not who Bobby Portis is.
Who is Bobby Portis? This is not who I was.
It's nuts, man. I'm telling you. I have a really strong feeling about this guy being nuts. Like
that is not who I am.
That's the vibe I get from him.
Bobby Portis.
I mean, do you see his eyes when he was looking at reporters during this? Just staring people down.
That is not who I was. That is who I am now, though. As a result of competing, and I'm gonna continue to compete.
look at him. Look at this is during that press conference.
Oh!
I told you. Yeah.
Damn! Look at that fro too. Yeah. Whoa, Bobby, this is who I am now. So look out.
This is not who Bobby Portis is.
Look at my eyes. No, both of them. Look. Don't look too long though. I'll get to compete on your
way. I do not want to mess with Bobby Portis. That's the last guy I want to be messing with.
Has this been festering for a long time? No, it hadn't. I was just competing.
It was not festering for a long time.
Yes, I can coexist with Nico.
Yes.
Can you coexist with Nico? Yes.
I can coexist with Nico.
Once, yes, I can coexist with Nico.
Once he starts talking again, we can coexist.
I would have, if he was repeating the questions like that, I would have just thrown him for a loop with something.
Yeah.
Be like, Bobby, Nico Mirotic, Flipperty Gibbet, Frog Jump Turd.
Frog Jump Turd, Flipperty Gibbet, Bobby Portis.
Just to see if he would repeat it.
Right. He'd repeat anything. Damn. Yeah. You're a parrot, man.
Peanut butter and jelly? Seagull?
Yeah, peanut butter and jelly, and the seagulls stole it out of my hand.
Bobby Portis.
So I had to compete with the seagull because I'm a competitor.
All right, coming up next, we have a Super Bowl halftime act, and we have two people who have been holding on for a long time.
Wow!
To get on the show today. So
Stacy!
We got to get those calls on the show today. We have to honor the great listeners and callers.
Yeah, we got to honor the great listeners and the callers.
Yeah, Brian will do Bobby Portis for the last segment of the show.
Stacy has been holding.
We're coming right back.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Justin Timberlake being the halftime entertainment of Super Bowl 52. When it's time to replace your battery, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Help you choose the Superstart battery that's an exact fit for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I don't know why I didn't think of him as a guy, maybe because he did it recently, and it was the Janet Jackson thing, and they wouldn't invite him back. Maybe that's why it wasn't on my radar.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, he's a great choice. I mean, the guy's got a gazillion hits. He's an entertainer. He's going to, I think he'd be great for it.
I love me some Justin Timberlake. Yeah, a lot of people hate on him.
Really?
Like, he stole the genre, the R&B genre, the soul. I just think he's a heck of an entertainer, and so it's a good choice. I did have an issue when all that happened with the wardrobe stuff. You know, he didn't catch as much flack as Janet Jackson did, as if she showed her or disclosed or unrobed her own areola. He had a part in it, but he didn't take as much of the heat as she did. But that aside, I think he's one of the more talented performers out there.
I'm surprised to hear that you've heard a lot of people hating on Justin Timberlake. I've never heard
it. I've heard it, yeah. Wow. I think it's misguided. I mean, the guy is talented as hell.
Yeah.
Give him his props. I'm a big fan.
Stole the R&B?
You know, that's the old wounds from back in the day when folks didn't get their just due. You know, still upset about the Elvises, and it was it Chuck Berry had to sue the Beach Boys and all that.
Oh, okay.
So there's a long history of black performers being overlooked and that feel like they've been slighted when they've created a genre and a certain sound that others have usurped.
Does he bring out NSYNC?
Oh, hell no. You better not. Nobody wants to see that.
How about after all that guy hung up? We were just about to go to his phone call, and he hung up. After he sat there for 2 hours.
Stacy?
We just had to do our Ask the Pros, and then we're going to go to the calls, and he hung up.
Call back, Stacy. Come
we
on.
We just would have, I mean.
Are you serious?
That's the luck that this guy has, this Stacy.
Stacy.
Well, unless his phone, his battery died.
Maybe that's what it was.
Instead, we go to Zeke in Oregon on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Zeke?
What's happening, boys?
Hey, man.
I was basking in the glory of my Bears and their second consecutive ugly victory when you brought up the whole Bobby Portis Miritich thing, and I can't get off it. The reporter failed to point out the most important thing is that Bobby Portis makes $1.5 million, more or less, on his rookie deal still, and Miritich signed a $27 million deal right before the season. I hate to be all about the money, but I have a feeling Bobby Portis isn't very happy with him.
No, there's a backstory here, and you're right, Zeke. There were a lot of guys in that locker room that felt that Nico felt they felt like he was self-entitled. He didn't come around. They asked a lot of those guys to stick around during the offseason, and the majority of them did, especially the young players. And you know, Mirotić did not. So,
it's like a deja vu, if you remember back when Kukoc came and Pippen was hating on him and even Michael Jordan. They're like, how are you giving this guy all this money? He's never even played.
Right.
Yet.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. You're correct. It's similar to that, but Kukoc, he proved to be a damn good player, an integral part.
Well, then go
of that
punch
system.
Gar Foreman in the face, yeah. Then. I mean, yeah. Why are you so mad at
Mirotić? A lot of Bulls fans would like to do that, believe me.
Yeah.
I'm a lifelong Bulls fan, and I've given up on him. The last straw was Thibodeau. And then Jimmy Butler. I just can't take it. I'm a Timberwolves right. guy now, and I live out here in Oregon, so the Blazers are fun to follow, even though they don't have a big chance to get out of the Western Conference. I can follow. I just can't even follow the Bulls anymore.
Well, there are a lot of guys. There are a lot of guys, Zeke, on that team after Bobby Portis punched Mirotić. They said that Bobby Portis didn't need to apologize because they were in his corner. They felt it's the same as he did, but they just didn't go to the link that he did. But they felt exactly as he did in about this situation. So there is a lot of there are a lot of issues going on in that locker room there for the Bulls.
But what about
the fans are waiting for Bobby Portis to show that same kind of intensity underneath the glass against Cousins or whoever else he's going up. I've never seen him bust a grape in a food fight.
Yeah, it's pretty ironic. Good call, Zeke. We appreciate you.
Well, maybe they need to say something good about Cousins and these other guys say something good about Mirotić.
Yeah.
And that'll set him off.
If that's true, now, the whole thing about his teammates and saying that we feel the same way, if you're Nikola Mirotić, how can you go back to that team? So not
27
only
27 million reasons.
No, but seriously. Now I know that the money is there and that's fine. But just human nature. How do you get punched in the face mm-hmm. so bad that you got to go to the hospital and you got broken orbital bones and everything else?
Yeah.
And then you hear that your teammates are like, "Oh, you don't need to apologize for that." Because we feel the same way. This guy should have never gotten any money.
Right.
And we're happy you punched
well,
in the face.
Well, they feel like he's been babied. That's how they feel. About the situation, and he's allowed to get away with certain things where others are not. And so let's see how they – when we saw this with the Bulls last year. Remember, you had Rondo and Dwayne Wade. They were at odds as far as how things were being done. The younger players, Rondo had their side. And
sure,
and
I mean, it happens all the time, but what doesn't happen all the time, and we've seen it twice in a couple of years – is two teammates punching each other out where one guy gets his face broken. Mm-hmm. I mean, it happened with the Jets, and it happened mm-hmm. now with the Bulls here.
And both guys that had their jaws broken should have protected themselves. Right? No?
Well, I mean, who...
Yeah! Fight back!
I mean, are these sucker punches, are they? Did they expect
man, he
it?
Saw it coming. He was just slow.
I don't...
Slow to react.
There's Mike, this is now his defense, by the way.
Who?
Yours.
What?
The first thing I thought
when you knock him out.
Oh, no. Hey, remember Unforgiven? You just shot an unarmed man. He should have armed himself.
Yeah, well.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
It's all shaping up.
No, he's already shared that it's his fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have that on record.
Several times. Yeah, this is just for record.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian Peterson had a great second game.
Well, we knew he wasn't going to match what he did. I said that last week.
No,
going up against the Rams. Quit hating on the man. You're Stacy, man.
No, I'm not going to quit hating on the man. I will hate on the man
why?
For the rest of time.
Why?
You know why. Stacy in Myrtle Beach on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Stacy? You're back, man. What's up?
Not much. I got cut off about an hour and something into it.
Oh, I felt terrible for you. Well, you got all the time now you want. Go ahead.
I just want to know real quick why David Seals and Will Grier, neither one, are mentioned in the Heisman race.
Hey, that Seals is incredible. Touchdowns. Former quarterback.
Yeah, with 15 touchdowns already.
Right, and it's because of the offense and Heisman, wide receiver. I don't know if he was running away from defenders like James Washington has done for most of the season, he couldn't do it in Austin the other day, but if he was doing that, you were right. He would be mentioned because I actually had James Washington on my preseason Heisman list. Then it was reported he had that sports hernia. You see how well that's holding him back. And Will Grier has been phenomenal. The guy was undefeated at Florida as their starting quarterback until he was suspended. And he's picked up and done the same thing with West Virginia. What's West Virginia? Still the no, they have two losses. Am I correct? Yeah, they lost to TCU and they lost to Vitech the first game of the season. But Will Grier, if they were sitting there with maybe one loss or undefeated, he'd probably be in that number.
Yes, sir. Well, I was just thinking about Lamar Jackson from last year. And
yeah, but look how Lamar Jackson wowed us. And I know the first couple opponents, they weren't stellar. But then what he did to Florida State early in the season, to put 60 on Florida State in the manner in which Louisville did, that made everyone take notice. So if Will Grier and Sills, they have a game like that, where they can just blow the doors off of a team, you know, maybe it's a Oklahoma or even Oklahoma State this weekend.
Texas, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State to whoop up on the rest of the year.
Wait, hold on, man. Bye. Bye.
Peace out, Jones.
That's Stacey. Will Greer is having a damn
hold on
good
for
year.
An hour. Feel yeah. bad for those guys.
That hold on for an hour?
Yeah, I do. I feel like it's my fault. Didn't get to them sooner.
Well,
yeah, they still have Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Kansas State, Texas, and Oklahoma.
And they come to Texas, am I correct? They come to Austin?
No, that's a home game.
Oh, they Austin.
At least according to this.
Texas goes there. Okay, cool. And Georgia Tech played who last week?
They played the Callahans.
And won.
Yeah.
They have Clemson this week. Clemson coming off a bye. We'll have to see what Kelly Bryant, if he's going to go in this ball game, how that knee is. He's had a couple weeks to heal up, so hopefully he's back at full strength. Speaking of quarterbacks, you guys been keeping up with this Arizona quarterback? I'm happy for my man Rich Rod there in Tucson. But this Khalil Tate has just been balling. I mean, he's over 100 yards rushing the last 3 weeks. He had three-something his first game versus Colorado. Then he had two-something a week ago, and then over 100 this week. Balling. Yeah. Watch Khalil Tate, folks.
Good for him.
Yes. Great for Rich Rod and good for him.
Khalil Tate. Now on my radar.
Yes.
Not wasn't on my radar.
He should be on your radar.
Now on my radar.
There you go.
Last story of the day. Kyrie Irving was fined $25,000.
Kyrie,
for
really?
Yelling blank my blank at a 76ers fan.
Come on, Kyrie.
I don't think
and
he should
have been. And all the 76ers fan said was, where's LeBron? Which is stupid. You know where LeBron is. Where's LeBron? And that was his reaction to that.
I don't think the fans were actually wondering where he was.
Yeah, well, still stupid for him to say. Where's LeBron?
I'm serious. I don't know where he is.
Yeah.
I wasn't kidding. I can't find him. Where is he? Did he disappear?
You know what?
APB on LeBron.
You know what you could do.
Chio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.